This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I just found out my married son had an affair, and the woman may be pregnant.
I breastfed all my children at the same time. I also breastfed my husband.
What? That's all fun and everything, and then all of a sudden this thought creeps into my head. What if I teleport to the roof?
You guys want to talk about boobs for a quick second?
I am not friend of. I am not housewife maybe. I am housewife.
Needless to say, we wind up having sex. Whoa! Meg!
I think my life without television would have been drastically different.
Sex in a car is probably something you're not that great at.
I was great at that, actually.
Do we know the good shit? We absolutely do.
Rich Wakili is not hairy.
I will say this. No one gets more unsolicited drinks thrown at them than Al.
Chris Manzo 8, Venmo.
There were daddy conversations, there were mommy conversations.
Having you on the show was a mistake.
Here's my thought. I just had an idea, but I forgot it.
The dating life in general should have just straight up contracts. Should be like sports.
What's up, everyone? Dear Albie. It's a new episode. The Don is here.
I am wrong.
Yeah, I didn't realize I was just doing this, and it's really, really, really loud in the earphones, and that jacked me up just now. Did you notice my surprise?
No, I'm sorry. I was looking down.
It's my genuine surprise at the just sheer volume that was in my ears. But anyway, what's up, Don?
Nothing much.
So a little bit slapstick, last minute throwing it together. We had a lot of crazy mailbag stuff come in. Or so I'm told, because I don't read them until the last second. We had a lot of fun too on this last week's show. Do you read the reviews ever? I mean, I don't know if you actually listen to this stuff, or are you like Chris?
I'm pretty much like Chris.
That's great.
Well,
no,
here's the thing:
the family support's overwhelming.
No, to be fair.
Yeah.
To be fair. Mm-hmm. Whenever I am on a show, you know, a talk show, whatever the case may be, whatever things I've filmed over, you know, crossovers for Bravo and stuff like that, I never watch them.
Never watch anything?
No.
Now,
so if there's a magazine article or something, I don't read it.
You just don't want to sign your own voice, or like how does that happen?
I don't know why. It's just that maybe because I lived it and I did it, so I don't need to revisit it, kind of thing. I don't watch it. I don't listen to it. I don't read it. None of it.
Nothing at all.
No.
Well, you know, it was, I don't know if you've ever done this before, but there are several like ratings and comments that you could leave in a podcast. And we played a little game, where basically I had a ton of people tagging me, and you actually brought it up to me. Several people tagged me in variety of accounts. This guy talking to his baby.
Yes.
Like going back and forth, and like, you know, the baby's talking baby and the guy's talking English. And everyone's saying, oh my God, this is just like you and Marky. Now, some people later in the week almost got a little bit heated. Like me and Marky got the trademark on the baby gibberish stuff, which I found like, I was like, wow, you guys go hard. I'm not going to discourage this type of thing because I love the passion, but also take it easy.
Right.
but it was a really, really funny video. So,
but that baby was literally literally the hand gestures, the facial, you know, that baby was in it. That baby was where Marky's kind of just like.
Well, I have to tell you the truth. I was actually very happy to see this because Marky needs a little reality check.
Yeah.
You know,
she's got to work harder.
She needs something. She needs a little fire under.
Right.
You know what I mean? She can't just think she's going to show up.
Well, listen, she's already, you know, very popular on social media and everything and may have gotten to her head. She's got to work a little harder.
And she's got to recognize who carries who
right.
in those videos. You know what I mean?
So that little baby was absolutely having a conversation with his father. Mm-hmm. The hand gestures, the head movements, everything. Where Marky just kind of like shoots from the hip, which she has to prepare a little more.
She just needs to. If we're gonna do this and do it right, you know, she needs to really bring it.
Do a homework.
She just and honestly, I can't do this for the both of us.
Right.
I really can't.
Right.
I can't. But I had one that I hadn't posted yet, and I said, hey, look, if you go in the comments and write "Can't Nobody Tell Me Nothing," which is a line in the song that I was singing, I will post a video.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It is the most hysterical freaking thing you've ever seen. And I don't know, like, this is like going to be the new thing. It's going to be the new Venmo, if you will, which, oh, by the way, okay, I'm now getting tweets from people that are getting into arguments with their husbands because they've been Venmoing Chris so much.
Well, guys, listen,
it has to stop.
That's wonderful.
It's madness.
The money just sits there. It's crazy.
Well, he said he's going to do something funny with it, like, or whatever. But I mean, at the end of the day, okay, it really has reached peak just craziness.
Right.
And you know what? You know, here's what's bad. People think I'm joking around. Like it gets under my skin. It really does. And then, okay, they're doing it now, specifically saying, all right, in the message, which, by the way, he screenshots and puts in the group text of everybody that works on the show. Every single one of them says, this is to piss Al off, this is to piss Al off, this is to piss Al off, which, number one, works, okay, 100%. But this is a vicious cycle
right.
that has been created that I just don't understand it.
Right. And please, guys, we don't need to have arguments with, you know, husbands and wives, et cetera. it's not that deep, but we appreciate it, and it's funny, and it's fun. So let's keep it light the way it's supposed to be.
It's right? It's really been just kind of ridiculous, but you know, look.
All love. Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot.
It's nice, at least, that people are listening. So,
yes.
You know, it just kind of was really just to me pretty wild to see the whole thing kind of play out now on Twitter of all things. But anyway, so. Couple of things. Number one, Greg Bennett hit me up. He said he laughed like crazy at the bachelor party discussion that we had, whether or not I will be invited to his bachelor party and if I should be offended if I'm not invited to his bachelor party.
Did he just say he laughed or did he comment? Did he respond?
No,
he texted me.
He texted me and said, dude, I'm rolling on the floor laughing at this whole thing. I actually said rolling. Mm-hmm. I forget exactly what he said. A couple things. Number one, that's definitely the first time he's ever listened to the podcast. 100%. The second, because I put it in my story that we were talking about him getting engaged, and you know he's like, you know,
he's Greggy.
It's about Greg.
Right.
So he's going to listen because it's about him now. So he did answer some of it. We and him went back and forth, and I'm not going to say anything because we're going to have him on the show.
I was going to say, save it for have him
well,
and
of course,
on the show.
Yeah, but what he said was, will you come in? Are you mobile? Can you come to me on this? And
he's
I was like, Greg.
He's got a fab poolside, though, at his apartment.
No, he said that. I mean, look at where we are right now. I mean, there's wires involved. I'm not trying to set up next to a pool. You do understand.
I do understand that, but he does have quite the setup over there.
Well, anyway, Greg's going to be on. Me and him talked about it. We're going to shoot for this week, and we'll make it happen for you guys because I know everybody's wanted him on for a while. But here we go. DearAbbyMailbag@gmail.com. First one today is from Lisa. Lisa said, hi, love your podcast, especially when you have your mom on.
Thanks, Lisa.
Look at that. You mentioned you feel dating should be like sports contracts, and I loved it. Can you please go into detail about what this contract would entail? Can't wait to see if you have Marky on the show. Love your videos with her. I'm emailing and DMing you because I'm so interested in your thoughts on the contract. Now, I've actually gotten this a bunch. Do you know what she's talking about?
No.
Which makes me hate you. You want to know why it makes me hate you?
No, because I do know, but I don't recall. How's okay. that?
It's in the intro. It's right. in the intro of every show that has ever played.
Right.
Okay.
I love the intro, by the way.
Yeah, it's a good intro.
It's a great intro.
And the very, very last thing the intro says, dating should be like a dating, the dating world yeah, should have contracts. Go, you, it should be like sports.
But you don't go into it. That's my point.
Well,
you
in the episode, it. Because it's in the intro, Mom. It's an introduction.
I understand
it's
that, not, but I didn't listen to the episode.
But the intro is a clip from various episodes spread
that.
Out.
Okay, I understand
now,
that.
That was a quick, that was a little quick blurb, I guess, from one of the other shows, right? But it's actually kind of an interesting concept if you think about it, okay? Because if you think about the institution of marriage, all right?
It's a contract.
It is a contract. There's really no terms on that contract. It's a life till death do us part
right.
style of contract.
Sickness and health. That's
I'm wondering
about it.
If there's a better way, not necessarily to call it a marriage like contract, or something a little bit lower. You know, like maybe before you want to get into the marriage thing, you say, hey, listen, I'd love to sign you to a 5-year relationship contract.
Renewable every 5 years?
Well, you can negotiate. You're the GM of your own team. Like you and dad would sit down.
What if you have
down.
Kids then?
Well, kids obviously come. That is like now you're bringing it into where well, there's a standard, like at that point, obviously, where a kid's involved, where, you know, the legal end of things is, has been established for all that.
Okay.
I mean, specifically for the relationship. But it's kind of cool because if you think about it, it's like, hey, listen. Maybe you say to them, hey, look, I'll give you a 3-year deal with an option for a 4th year. You know what I mean? And maybe you have restrictions on that, like performance incentives.
Why don't you start your own LegalZoom-esque contract service for dating?
So just dating contracts?
Mm. And there's levels, there's engagement, there's living together.
Yeah, well,
there's
you're saying, hey, listen, like, you know, you're signing to each other and you're saying, all right, you know, right. I'm signing off here. And like someone might say to me, all right, cool. Like you're paying the rent and the cable and the groceries
right.
and the electric
so like
and all that other
in,
stuff.
It's rookie. Then they get, right. when they get engaged, it's varsity. And then they get married. It's like, you know, okay, ownership, that
well,
kind of thing.
Basically what you're doing at that point is, you know, you're just kind of, you're establishing the deliverables
right.
on both sides.
Right.
Okay. And you're saying at that point, hey, listen, it's kind of like a lease, okay? At the end of that lease, you guys look at each other, okay, the term of the contract,
right.
and you say, hey, look, I think I'd like to play for a different team. It's certainly an option at that point.
Right. Are there penalties for breaking the contract?
Well, I mean, you know, maybe there are trades. Mm. Maybe that could be interesting, too, like sports, there could be trades, mm. you know?
Wow, that's heavy.
That would be sick. Can you imagine though? Like, think about how like the news on that. What
well,
it would
think
be
about
like?
How many marriages broke up because one of the partners was having an affair with the best?
Yeah,
friend
so just
of the
trade,
other. So
just trade,
trade,
just trade. Right. Yeah, you sit down, you work it out, mm-hmm. you work out the terms of the deal. Mm-hmm. Okay, maybe there's a sign in trade.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, like maybe you know
bonuses.
Yeah, there you go. That's see what I mean? It's so great. Everything about it. You know what I mean? Everything about it's so great. Like maybe like, you know, if I just got into a contract, you know, I got a 3-year deal with my girlfriend, but someone's coming on the tail end of a 4-year deal with somebody else
right.
kind of into them. It's a sign and trade. You trade, but she wants an extension.
Right.
You know,
there could be some teeth to this and there could be something where I think you could do an app or something and just have a dating LegalZoom-esque type thing.
I'm busy enough, man.
So if that's how you feel, you know. Go for it.
I am busy enough, you know. But anyway, so we got another one. DRLBmailbag@gmail.com. We got a bunch this week, and a lot of them, Don, are specifically for you.
Thanks,
guys. They actually say a number of things,
which hence is why I'm sitting here.
That's why you're here. Well, you know why? Because like, look, when we see it, we want to give the people what they want.
Mm.
This next one, DearAlbieMailbag@gmail.com. This one is from Steven from PA. Dear Albie, I have a few questions for the Don. I am a longtime fan of the show, particularly because Caroline and your family. I currently only watch Jersey for Dolores, who I ran into the other day, her and Frank.
Okay. Frankie.
Question is, how did Caroline and Dolores meet? Has Dolores being on the show impacted their friendship in any way? Did Dolores come to Caroline for any advice prior to her joining the show? I know she filmed with you guys prior to being on the show or when Crazy Danielle made her comeback. There's a next. Next, what does Caroline think of what I call the quote-unquote behind-the-scenes takedowns of some of the housewives? I'm referring to what appears to have happened with Siggy on NJ and what is currently happening at Beverly Hills to Lisa Vanderpump. It seems very apparent to me that when fellow cast members and or production turn on someone, there is much more that the viewers don't see going on behind the scenes. Is there any truth to that? Steven is very inquisitive.
And he's inquisitive and he's intuitive.
Oh, wow.
There you go.
Steven, I wish you could have seen her face just now. You really struck a chord with the Don. Well, let's start with Dolores. First of all, okay, little did you know, Dolores was the very first person ever when we came out and said we had the show Dear Albie to say that she wanted to do the show.
Right.
We've been meaning to do that.
Right. She's a busy girl.
She is. So we'll make sure we make a note to ask her when she does the show. But go ahead. How did you meet Dolores?
I guess it had
to be through Dad, no?
So many years ago that I don't remember.
It had to be through Dad, though.
I don't remember. It had to be through Dad. Yeah, because, you know, the relationship with her dad and her brothers and everything else. And it was so many years ago. Frankie was like four, three or four when we met. You know, he was tiny.
Got it.
You know? So, anyway.
So
that's how we met a thousand years ago. I don't even remember. Has our relationship changed since she's been doing the show? Absolutely not. It's still very much the same. Dolores and I don't see each other often, but when we do see each other, it's like we saw each other yesterday. That's the relationship we have. As far as her getting advice from me, little did you know, Dolores was one of the original people that was considered to be on Housewives. And at the time, she was dating some jackass that was very controlling, et cetera, that did not want her to be on the show. So she didn't go on.
I didn't know that.
Yes. Fast forward to season two. She was asked back again. And someone else, another cast member, talked her out of joining. And I was always a strong supporter of Dolores being on the show because I think she brings a lot to the table because there's a lot of history there. And she's very straightforward, straight-talking kind of person. So over the past few years since I left up until she was signed a couple of years ago, I was a big advocate of her being on the show, and I would talk to producers, et cetera, and everybody else involved and say, get back to Dolores, get back to Dolores, look at her again, because I think she has something to offer. So I am thrilled that she's on the show. And yes, she does come to me from time to time with looking for advice or just looking to vent kind of thing. And we always have very brutally honest, fun conversations. And that's what makes our relationship special because we could tell each other anything, good, bad, ugly, and we'll laugh it off or take it to heart and do something about it. As far as people changing on the show, Lisa Vanderpump and all that kind of thing, I get it.
What happened to that?
I don't know. I think that there was an issue.
You were telling me the other day.
With some dog.
Well, first of all, I don't know. Honestly, we don't keep up on any of this stuff.
We
but
don't watch.
I do remember you saying something to me about, I think it was about Lisa. No, not Lisa.
No, there was on my homepage for when I read the news every morning, there was a thing that she was not going to the reunion, and then the next day was on the homepage that she had left Housewives. I get it. I understand 1,000% where she's coming from. There comes a point, and listen, I'm talking, I could be completely out of turn here because I don't know. I'm not intimately involved with anything. I don't watch the show, and I don't follow anything. So, but just from my own experience, I can say that it gets to be a very ugly place when the women don't want to work together to make something great better. Okay, when they all have their self, they're worried about themselves and nobody else. They're not worried about the big picture. They're not looking at the success of the show. They're only worried about their individual successes, and they will stomp on your head, stab you in the back, trip over you, and take the bracelet off your hand as they're walking past you. It's that kind of thing. So
there's also
a
lot of people on the sidelines too, where somebody gets a publicist that thinks they're a big deal or something like that, that starts like planning stories and this and that, and they start playing these games that will definitely mess with you a little bit.
And that was something that we never did. We never planted a story. We never listened. When it would be funny because people would say, "Oh, so and so said this," and "Oh, Caroline, you're the best one. You're the one that's got the most talent here." And I would look at them and say, "And then you're gonna go over to Teresa's house in an hour and tell her the same thing." All you're trying to do is get us riled up against each other.
And look, some of them are better at that than others. So.
And you know what? And there could be a lot of truth to it, too. It's a game. It's a chess game. It is a wicked, wicked chess game. The thing is, you have to be smarter than it.
Well, it's kind of like being, and I would tell this to people, the anxiety level is extreme.
Through the roof.
Because it's kind of like you know how, I have people that have come up to me over the years that say they watched that show, you know, while we were on, and everybody, and they would say the fighting is exhausting.
Mm.
It's like living that for 8 months straight.
No, but doesn't
like
go away.
You can't turn it off. No. And you just can't turn it off.
And then you have to relive it when it airs and everybody's seeing everything and you get the phone calls. Why'd you say that? Why didn't you tell me my bra was shown? Why didn't you tell me I didn't have a good hair? Why didn't you say I had parsley in my teeth? Why did you say that to this one? It's like, my God.
Well, I'll tell you what. You know, one of the things that I remember vividly, and we should really try and have her on the show. It's a short window, but we should try. The text messages from Jacqueline would start usually around 6:45 a.m.
And they'd be pages.
To everybody.
Yes.
Ding,
pages.
Ding, 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 yeah. Ding. That's how everybody would wake up.
Well, know what it was. She would watch, mm-hmm. and she would dissect
oh, yeah.
the chess game.
Oh, yeah.
So now you're watching and you're like, okay, I just saw this. What's going to happen next week? What do you think she said about that? Where I would go, I'd film, I'd come home and try to forget it. But sometimes, you know, there are those that just can't. And that was mentally exhausting.
Yeah.
Exhausting.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I remember that really well.
And then you get to a point where you're just like, you don't care anymore. It's like, I don't care. And then you get to a point where people stop believing the nonsense. Mm-hmm. And I think that's, you know, maybe Bravo had a little bit of an issue with me. And this is just me, again, overthinking maybe, or maybe I'm right. Where I'd go on a talk show and they'd say, oh, Caroline, you're this. You know, I'm like, no, I'm not. No, I'm not. I'm just me.
Mm-hmm.
We got lucky. There's no talent. We're a group of women that got put together and it was lightning in a bottle.
Yeah, but you know what? You know? It's funny. I've talked about this a lot. You know, and I had a conference or basically an event where I made a speech. No, I didn't make a speech. I spoke at this event. And I talk about that a lot, where you go through something where everybody gets a lot of attention at once, and it's all people that you know, and you know them on day one before TV comes on, and then you shoot day one of season two, and everybody has this idea of what people are responding to, and you knew right away who is feeling themselves or buying into it and who wasn't.
Right.
And that's when the games kind of started, and I think that's kind of how it all kind of deteriorates in one way or another. So, you know, but that's all Steve had.
Yeah, well, Steve, like I said, you're intuitive and you're right, and there is a lot more behind the scenes, but that's life. It's like being in the workplace every day, the water cooler stuff. So, yeah, you're right.
Wow. So, okay. That was a big one. We got another one here. Dear Albie, mailbag at gmail.com. This is from Becky. Becky asks, do I care too much? She says that in the it's a long one. I got to get through it. We're not crazy long, but...
Is it the Becky from Beyonce song? Was that her name, Becky? With the long hair?
You know,
with
I don't.
The blonde hair, whatever it was.
I don't know. I don't know. I haven't gotten into the question. I have no idea what this says.
Okay.
Dear Albie, big fan of yours. I started at my current job almost 2 years ago. I became quick friends with one of the girls. Almost a year into the job, I started working in another position at my job. This girl was super supportive about me working in this other position and wanted to do nothing with what I am doing now. This girl and I don't work together as much anymore. There are times when she is super friendly with me and everything is great. But then there are days when she will barely say anything to me when I walk into a room. She will get up and walk away. I have asked her before why she is mad at me, and she always tells me that she isn't mad at me and gives me some excuse about being tired or something. I don't believe her because when she is with two of our other coworkers, she is completely different. I try not to let this bother me, but it does. I have been told that I care too much about friendships with people who don't really care about me and are only nice to me when they need something, and of course, I am always there for them. I am at a loss about how I should handle this situation. Do I care too much? Thanks, big-hearted friend in IL.
Becky.
Well, Becky. You know what? Maybe we don't say Becky because she signed it big-hearted friend.
Big-hearted friend?
Yeah.
Okay, big-hearted friend, who cares? It's a workplace relationship.
Let's go here. Okay? This is where I'm going to go with this.
Go.
Big-hearted friend asks, do I care too much? I respond, yes.
Yes, way too much.
Yes.
You go to work every day. Yeah. You see you from 9 to 5, whatever, 8 to 4, whatever your hours are. Have a nice cordial relationship. If she doesn't want to say hello, so what?
I like to say I'm not here for a long time. I'm here for a good time.
Right.
When you're at work, you're not there for a good time. No. You're there for a long time.
Right.
So just get along with everybody. This is not that serious.
Don't let that get in your headspace. Who cares? Yeah. Maybe she is having a bad day. Maybe she's got a little bit of a personality kind of thing where she's moody. Maybe she's moody. Don't let her moodiness rub off on you. Who cares? Hey, how are you? Good day. You want a cup of coffee? Okay, bye. See you later. Bye. See you. Bye. That's it.
It's just not that serious. I think you just show up. You do what you got to do. Do what you want to do.
Right.
And then move on. That's all you really need to do.
End of story.
You're there for work. Okay? Don't worry about what people think of you or right. This or that. I got news for you, okay? What people think of you is none of your business. That was a good one.
Yep.
That's a quote I like.
Yes.
I don't think you need to go down that road.
Do your job. Don't let it affect your job.
I don't even care what you think of me, Don.
Well, that's a little...
That's a joke.
That's a little deep.
That's a joke. Just kidding. Anyway. I would just kind of go to work, do your thing, put your head down.
Be nice. Always be nice. No reason to be nasty. Mm. Hi, how are you? She doesn't say hello back. Say, okay, bye. See you. That's all. You don't know what her day's from. You don't know what she wakes up to every day.
Yeah, you don't know.
Don't worry about it.
But maybe she is just tired.
Maybe.
Okay. Or maybe you're asking her a lot.
Maybe she's under pressure.
Yeah. A lot of things could be involved.
Just let it go.
A lot. This specifically is a Dear Dom that came in the mailbag. A question for the Dom when she is back on. So sorry if this is too heavy.
Mm.
So, I mean, that starts out pretty serious.
Yes.
I have not read this.
Okay.
Dear Don, gets right to you, right at you. I'm not even mentioned in this.
All right.
Okay. Dear Don, firstly, I have to mention how blessed you are regarding family and the people surrounding you. I'm envious in the best possible way of the family life you all have. And what I mean by that is the closeness and support for each other you all have. My mom and dad split up 4 years ago after 34 years. And 2 years ago, my younger brother committed suicide. So currently, my family is totally on its knees and split. I'm so sorry if this is too heavy, but do you have any advice for helping mend broken relationships within families, or even have any advice for moving forward after such a devastating situation? Any advice would be appreciated. God bless from Scotland. Wow.
Wow. Poor thing. Wow. First of all, I'm very sorry on both counts. The first thing I could say is your parents' relationship is not your relationship. You know, if they broke up and their marriage is no longer intact, that has nothing to do with you. You can still have a relationship with each of them individually, or they can try and hopefully mend fences and put pain aside and try to be civil where they could be in the same room with you. I don't know now if losing your brother is just you and you don't have any other siblings, and I'm very, very sorry for that. And sometimes you have to walk away to save yourself, if that makes sense. So I don't know the ins and outs of the divorce. I don't know the ins and outs of your relationship with your parents. I don't know the ins and outs of your brother, you know, his suicide, why he chose to do it. I am going to guess that it had nothing to do with your parents breaking up. I think there were obviously underlying issues beyond that, that maybe were masked over, hidden, whatever the case may be. Well, so you can't live your life paying for everybody else's decisions, pain, etc.
Well, I think that is obviously useful advice for, number one, it's a horrible, horrible situation.
Horrible.
Okay, horrible thing to be confronted by. And
there's so
else.
Much that we don't know, and that's why you got to tread lightly on how you answer.
Well, I mean, not even so much that. I think, like, let's just kind of take it on what it is. They ask two questions. Number one, how do you mend broken relationships? And then number two, how do you move on from devastating situations?
Right.
And I think where you're the position that it is you have to look at it. It's really kind of two things, right? I think when something that devastating happens, you kind of have to look at it and say, all right, well, you really got to take not even the day by day approach. It's a moment by moment approach.
Absolutely. Okay?
And it's about, how do I take the conversation that I'm having with a family member whomever it is, whether you have issues with this person or whatever, if you guys are all sharing the same hurt, okay, that means you shared the same love for the person and all that other stuff too. So kind of focus on that good memory that you have and build on
build on it.
Okay?
Yep.
I don't think it's a good exercise to kind of point fingers in situations
Absolutely
like
not.
That. You have to just kind of accept that, you know, those types of conversations probably won't be all that productive. And this is not coming from any type of expertise. This is just if I was, God forbid, presented with such a situation, how I would say to handle it. But the mending thing is interesting because I think all you can really do, and I've been in that position, you've been in that position, all you really can do, what I have learned, is be the best you you can be. And really, really, really be 100% sure when you're looking introspectively. That's a word, right? It's mm-hmm. introspectively. When you're looking inside of yourself, that you are not doing anything to contribute to that situation. If that's where you are lying, okay, where your amount of involvement in whatever the relationship is. If you really can lay down at night and say, I'm not doing anything to contribute negatively to this whole thing, that's all you can ask for. And then just continue to kind of be open. Don't allow, you know, any of the negative aspects of things that might be behind you. Forgive what you can and then move on. But, you know, it's a two-way street
and,
also.
And please understand, it doesn't happen in a day. It doesn't happen in a week. It doesn't happen in a month. Sometimes it doesn't happen in a year.
And sometimes okay? You got to be okay with it not happening.
Right. You know? So listen, I've walked that road plenty of times and I've had to make some very, very heart-wrenching, serious decisions in my life. And I feel like, you know, with age and maturity, things become clearer, hopefully. And you have to look at, okay, what is this relationship costing me emotionally, physically? Because emotions can lead to physical issues. You know how stress affects the body, and you have to really, really examine yourself, the people involved, the situation, and what you want from it. And sometimes things just can't be fixed. And if something can't be fixed, you have to work on acceptance and understanding of the whys and move on. Because if you can't, the worst thing you can do is stay stagnant. And the worst thing you could do is put thoughts in somebody's heads as to the whys and everything and blame. So you have to look at yourself and, like Albie said, and say, okay, what role did I play in this? And what role do I want to play moving forward? And guess what? I always tell my kids all their lives growing up, you cannot force someone to love you. You should never have to beg someone to love you. And that goes with relationships too. You should never have to beg someone to be in your life. And if someone doesn't want to be in your life, you have to accept it.
Well, I think, you know, there's a lot of things and you don't want to do too much assuming in this situation. But
right.
When you're talking about mending relationships, you have to really, you know, I always feel for that person because to me, I just feel like that should be a two-way street. The relationships that I've wanted to mend, okay, I have to tell you the truth. I am more than comfortable with the amount of close people that I was connected to, like stronger than blood that I don't talk to. I'm thrilled they're not in my life anymore. Mm-hmm. Thrilled. I can't even put it into words how okay with that I am. However, they all started exactly where she is.
Right.
Wanting to mend it, wanting the desire to keep it around. And here's the thing, where I kind of came to it, or at least for me, was I have a love for this person and all that other things. And all those other things, which is fine. But I also have an innate need in myself to say, hey, I want to be a positive person in your life for whatever reason, or I want this relationship to kind of continue. And sometimes you come to the realization that this person is not, number one, who you thought they were. Don't see the relationship in the same way as you do. Are a little bit more selfish or whatever, or are just driven by different things.
Well, people evolve too, Al.
Well, people change, whatever. Right. And you have to be kind of okay with not putting more energy into that because it's only going to, I found it's only going to drain you. However, I don't regret trying Because the worst thing,
you should always try.
The worst thing that could have happened was if these relationships went bad and, you know, you don't do anything to try and mend it. But you just got to kind of acknowledge at some point it's got to be a two-way street. You know, I have like my little rule now is I approach twice. If I go to you twice to try and fix something and you're not, you know, there won't be a third time. Like the third time's on you.
And if you go and fix something and the relationship is mended and it lasts for 2 weeks and the person is who they were again and it just brings you to negative places, and you just got to know when to walk away. Mm. Okay? And sometimes walking away, trust me, is the hardest thing in the world. It's the biggest heartbreak in the world, but it's the best thing in the world for the big picture and your future.
Yeah, and I think then, you know, honestly, on the devastating, moving on from the devastating stuff, it's a sad thing for sure. I think what you got to do is you got to cling to whatever good memories that might exist and try and make them present now and make them bigger. And that might be, you know, trying to help other people that are in certain situations like that. They might be putting together, you know, charity things. They might be going to lunch on his birthday type of stuff. There are little things that you can do to kind of keep that alive. And I think that stuff is important.
Right.
But hey, I mean, you know, so Don, do you feel, I mean, that's a very heavy thing, obviously. Mm. Number one, and she shouldn't feel bad for bringing the heavy stuff. We take all kinds of
and again, we're not psychologists. We're just like shooting from the hip here.
I mean, you know what, though? I actually said this, and I almost feel sometimes that the show was a gift in this way. People commented on our lives for 10 years, and now we're actually getting a chance to kind of turn it around. I think it's cool that this is now kind of a place to go with all different types of life scenarios. And I kind of feel like when it's something like that, that now, let's be fair, that question had nothing to do with me. It was to you specifically. You get a lot of that where people come to you with very, very deep emotional stuff.
Right.
Okay. How does that make you feel?
It's strange because very big part of me doesn't understand it. Like when people say, oh my God, you're the best mother, or you have the best family, you have this, you know. I just think it's because you see us. It's really hard for me to wrap my head around because, you know, we're not perfect. And I've never, ever said on the show that our family was perfect. I always said that you kids fought like cats and dogs and we had our issues.
Marky was terrible yesterday.
Yeah, she was a monster yesterday. True story. But, you know, I've never said that we were perfect and I've never said that I know everything. But, you know, I think with people watching us, and I have to say that I'm very, very proud of the family that Daddy and I built, meaning our little nuclear family, you know, our fab seven that we are now. I'm very proud of that. But listen, a lot of blood, sweat, and tears along the way to build that thing. So when people ask my advice, and I'm happy to give advice about the best I can about, you know, raising your kids, because your kids are not kids, you're grown men and women, and I think we've done a phenomenal job, and I think you've turned out, all three of you, to be wonderful, caring, successful human beings. So I think there's something to be said for that. So I can only share what I did, the mistakes I made, and the positive things I made. You know, marriage and stuff like that, I don't see Daddy, so who the hell knows? If he ever retires, we'll probably wind up hating each other.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
That's a joke, but well, maybe not.
I think that the big thing for me, is that I think you've kind of always put yourself out there as it is. When it was good, it's out there as being good. When it's bad, it's out there as being bad. And I think it's made people very comfortable to bring that here, which is fun because for me, honestly, it's kind of a cool thing that everybody writes in, just basically and lets it fly on their real life. When it's funny, it's funny. When it's sad, it's sad. When it's angry, and that's what I think
maybe that's it. You know, I do take pride in the fact that I am strong enough to be me, meaning no makeup, you know, who cares what I look like? I don't care what I'm wearing, you know, I don't care what I'm saying, what I'm doing. I made a promise to you guys, and I made a promise to myself many years ago before those first cameras started rolling, and that was Daddy's request. Just be you.
Well,
so thank you for that.
Basically, it takes a lot of pride to be a shit show, is what you're saying.
Good story.
Very, very nice. Guys, thank you so much for writing in. DearAlbumMailbag@gmail.com. We got a lot of, so we're going to finally start the guest portion of the show. Hit us up. Tell us who you want to see. Hit us up with the questions. We've been getting bombarded on there. Keep it coming. You guys are the greatest. We will catch you later.
Bye.